Good morning, church, and welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. If you're just tuning in, I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Word here and dig in a little bit deeper, see what God has for us. We've been going through the book of Philippians, and we're just finishing up here over this week and next week. Question is, where do you put your treasure? And as Paul closes his letter here, we see that he offers himself as a pattern to be modeled after for this church and even for us, right? So his encouragement is to follow his example as he follows Christ. So Paul's not saying follow him for his sake. What he's saying is, I follow Christ, so do the same. Do likewise. Follow Christ as I follow Christ. So that's his encouragement. Follow Jesus. And so that should be our encouragement to others as well. And that's my encouragement to you in all things, is to follow Jesus. So we know that our heroes or those people that we look up to, those examples that we choose to follow, that's what determines our character and our behavior. We know that we become like who we hang out with. We also become like who we emulate and who we model our behavior after. So Paul's saying, pattern your life after Jesus. And so Philippi, this church, has done that in at least one regard. There's more, but Paul's finishing up his letter and he's making note of one of the ways that they've patterned their life after Jesus. So Jesus, we know, gave himself sacrificially, and the Philippians gave of themselves to Paul to further his ministry to share the gospel. And so they gave financially and they gave materially to support his journeys. And we know from history and from the Bible that they were not luxury vacations, right? You know, he couldn't just jump on an airplane or a train or get an Uber. You know, travel in those days was pretty rough, mostly walking, or maybe he was bouncing around in the back of a wagon somewhere. But he certainly risked hardship as he traveled, you know, sleeping in the country and moving from place to place with the natural dangers and the elements and animals and you know, even certain, you know, certainly roadside robbers were a possible threat. But the biggest physical threat that Paul actually encountered was when he arrived in a town. As he moved from town to town, the biggest threat was when he moved into a town and started preaching the gospel. He wasn't often received well by the locals, and we know that the Roman authorities had issues with him as well, which is why he's writing this letter from a Roman prison, right? And so Paul's ministry caused him to suffer. But because it was his passion, and actually that word passion means to suffer, right? So Paul was willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. That was Paul's passion, was preaching the gospel. In one of these letters, he said, "Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel." And so this church at Philippi helped his ministry and shared in his sufferings. And we see this in the beginning of his letter in chapter 1, verse 7, where he said to them, "Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as, both in my chains and the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me." So because of their generosity in giving financially, materially, they become partakers of grace with him. So he's connecting their charity with their fellowship in the gospel. And in doing so, he reflects like how highly God regards their partnership with him in this way. And so we pick up this week in verses 14 through 20, where he says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared with me in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound and am full, having received things from Epaphroditus, the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So in this closing, Paul's really emphasizing their giving. And so we already talked about Paul's attitude towards his own provision, right? He's content in whatever state that he is in because he realizes that God has in the past and will continue to supply for his every need. And so he's reminding the Philippians of this very same thing. And so his gratitude for their giving seems to be largely tied to the benefit that they will receive from giving. As he says here, concerning the giving and receiving, which is interesting, right? So in their giving, they will also receive. And he goes on to say here that there's fruits that will abound to their account. And so what is this fruit? So Paul would put it this way in his second letter to the Corinthian church. He would say, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And so this idea of reaping and sowing is, I think, what Paul is driving at here with this fruit. It's the same agricultural reference, right? So let's think about what's being sown, which is the gospel and the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, right? And so that seed being received, which is the salvation of a lost soul. And so that fruit, the salvation of a lost soul, being credited to the account of the ones who provided the means to deliver the gospel, right? So are we talking about a heavenly scoreboard, right? Like I gave this much and it provided for this missionary and he saved 10 people and that's on my scoreboard. Well, I'm not sure about that, right? But God knows who provided the means for the gospel to be delivered and the one who delivered the gospel, right? So that's not hidden from God. And so we see here in Romans 10, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So think of this, right? Those who are participating in sharing of the gospel have that saved soul eternally linked, right, with the person who preached and the person who provided, right? That's the fruit that gets accounted to their account, right? And so the question, right, how shall they hear, right? How shall they hear indeed, right? This is where the gospel becomes real, is when we hear it and receive it. So I love to hear people's salvation story. You know, how God saved them out of these really improbable or impossible circumstances, right? And, you know, so just think of this, right? In heaven, hearing one day how this person provided for Paul's ministries and then that person was saved, right, because of that. But then we can even imagine further and think someone that was saved through your delivering of the gospel or for your providing for the gospel ministry, right? And so I think that's a super encouraging thought for me today, and I hope it is for you. And so have a great week and be blessed.